Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning, everybody. It is so, so good to be with you on this first weekend of July. Goodness gracious me, where did that go? And if you are yet planning to go on your holiday, I hope you have a great time. If you're already thinking about your holidays, come back, stay with me just for a few more moments, and pray that the Lord will bless you. It's my joy this morning to share something from the Word of God for a few moments. So if you've got a Bible, I'm going to read from a really beautiful psalm. It's Psalm 103. And if you've got a Bible, I'd love you to look that up. So if you've got a Bible on your phone or on your tablet, or even one with pages like mine, then I know that what's one of those? Then why don't you grab it and read it with me, because it's an amazing piece of the Bible that we want to just read from this morning. While you're finding it, if you are finding it, I want to speak today about the power of our memory. The fact that we are called in the journey of faith to learn to remember. And there are certain things that we need to remember as we are going forward in God. So here we go. Psalm 103. And it says these amazing, amazing words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed, and He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. So bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Bless the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What amazing, amazing words. That remind you of the words we're going to hook into for a few moments this morning in verse 2. It says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget not all His benefits. So there's sort of two directives we're given in that verse. The one is to bless Him, lift Him up, exalt Him, give Him His rightful place in our lives. But the other one is something that all humans are a bit prone to. Forget not. Now, if you've been a human any length of time, you have had a run-in with forgetfulness. You've forgotten stuff. And sometimes we forget stuff for a whole host of different reasons. I don't know about you, but certainly in my life, forgetfulness is an ongoing battle that I have to engage with. And we can forget things because we're frail. We're human. We've got a lot on our mind. We've got a lot to do. There's things going on. There's distractions. And we just forgot to pick up, you know, the peppermint tea in the shopping list. And because there's a lot going on in our world, and we can just forget stuff because we're frail, right? We also forget stuff, I think, because some things aren't really worth remembering. Isn't that right? Some things we really do remember, they just lodge in our mind, and other things don't. I'm a Liverpool supporter, and this last season, well, it's sort of forgettable, really, for us. You know, the season before, where we won 2 trophies, got into the final of a third competition, almost won the league. We're within 15 minutes. If only Aston Villa was a half-decent team, we might have won the league last year. Had an amazing season last year. This season, virtually forgettable. Although I would say one fantastic thing I'll remember from this season, beating Man United 7-0. That will be an unforgettable moment. That's etched in my memory now. As a Liverpool supporter, as I follow them, so that's. But it's largely it's sort of forgettable. I'll not remember much from this season, really. And then there's some stuff, can I say, that we forget because of neglectfulness. Next Sunday, I am 35 years married to Dawn. We will be celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary next Sunday. Thank you. I appreciate the support on that. Thank you, all one of you. So 35 years married, next Sunday we'll be celebrating that. And I can remember what Dawn was wearing when I met her. Honestly, I could describe what she looked like to the detail on the first day I met her at Mattersea Bible College. And there I was, a third year student, and she was coming in as a first year, and I could describe her. If you want, I'll do that afterwards. It'll take far too long in the sermon, and you'll get bored really, really quickly. But I can remember that. And the 9th of July, 1988, is a date that I will not ever forget. I don't need that to be in my calendar. I don't need to tattoo that on my body somewhere. I don't need a Google reminder. That should be something I don't forget, right? Do we need to put on a marriage counseling course or something here? Come on, people. There's some things we just should not forget. Why? Because they're really, really, really important. Yet if you said to me, John, what did you have for dinner a week on Monday? I would really struggle to remember that. Why? Because in the scheme of the importance of my life, it's not really that important. But when it comes to something like this, this is etched. Why? Because it's really important to me in the context of my world. When it comes to our spiritual journey, we are encouraged to do 2 things from the words of the Lord in the Bible. Number one, we're encouraged to remember, and we're encouraged not to forget. Well, John, isn't that the same thing? No, actually. That actually there's a difference between remembering and forgetting, right? In the context of the scripture. And so we're not just called to remember something, we're also called to not forget something. That's a very dynamic, positive action. And here's what I've discovered as a follower of Jesus, that there are some pressures on my life that encourage me to forget. Okay? Forget the really important stuff. Forget the stuff that I must not forget, the stuff that I need to remember and hold on to. And when I look at the biblical text and look at my own journey, these 2 big ideas pop up, and you might recognize them as factors that encourage us to forget. Forget the really important stuff. The first one's sort of obvious. You'll all know this. The first factor that encourages me to forget is pain or pressure. Or persecution, or bad stuff. Stuff comes into my life, and when that stuff comes into my world, the temptation is the stuff itself overwhelms me, and then I forget the goodness of God. So when the bad stuff happens, the pressure comes, the temptation is I forget the faithfulness of God in my life. Because I'm in something right now, it's really painful right now, I'm not enjoying it, it's not a good moment. And when you're in the middle of that, it's really easy to forget all the amazing faithful moments that God did for us before that. Right? Isn't that true? Oh, well, it's true for me. So let me speak for myself, because I'm not sure if it's true for you or not. But it's true for me. I've been in moments of pressure where I have actually, and I confess it to you, I have forgotten good things that God did for me in the past. Because I'm in the middle of something. God, where are you? When are you going to help me? When are you going to answer? When are you going to do something amazing? And in the middle of that pressure, I'm tempted to forget what he has done for me. There's an amazing little moment in the Bible that reminds us of this, when God meets a young man called Gideon, and God wants to use Gideon to deliver his people in a moment of crisis. But here's Gideon's response. Lord, if you are with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? See, here's a moment where Gideon is under so much pressure that he has forgotten the faithfulness of God in his life. And that's a big factor in our journey. That maybe you're under pressure right now. You're under pressure personally. You're under pressure as a family. You're under pressure physically. You're under pressure in lots of different areas of your life, even financially. That wouldn't be an easy thing to negotiate. And in the midst of our pressure, the danger is we forget. And so we're told to forget not. To not forget. But to consciously, deliberately remember. And it's really hard to remember when you're in the middle of difficulty. And that's why it's an act of worship. It's an act of faith. It's an act of discipline. That's why coming together in a community like this is so, so important. Because the community helps us remember. Right? When we worship and use these beautiful songs, part of that is helping us to remember. Helping us to not forget. But Lord, I'm in the middle of... Yes, we get that. Absolutely. We're in the middle of whatever. You're up to your neck in whatever. I get it. Being there, got that. You've got a whole range of beautiful, colorful t-shirts on that. But right now, in the midst of whatever you're up to your neck in, we're being called to not forget. But remember. Remember what? Remember his faithfulness. If he was faithful yesterday, what's changed today? Come on. Is he still faithful? Yes, he is. Now, my circumstances aren't that good, but he's still faithful. So we're called to remember that. And in the midst of pressure, we're often under pressure to forget his faithfulness. That's certainly been, I think that's pretty constant as a biblical story. There's certainly been a pressure in mine to be under temptation and pressure to forget. But the other one seems a bit strange. The other one is this, that actually prosperity and blessing can also cause me to forget. You say, well, hold on a minute. I'm praying for God to bless me. When I get blessed, how would you forget that? Well, listen, you wouldn't be the first human on a spiritual journey to neglect God once you got blessed. All right? Come on, are you there? You're a quiet crowd, it has to be said. Come on, encourage me a little bit more with that. Come on. Honestly, this is one of the challenges that we have. That actually, I've seen people over the years get the very thing from God they wanted, and when they get it, they forget. What? Yeah, for sure. And actually, that's not just a modern problem. It's even in the Bible story. God often blesses his people, and when he blesses his people, they sort of get used to the blessing, and then they forget the blesser. And it's all over the biblical text. I could have picked out literally dozens of examples. I'll pick out one for you from the prophet Hosea. And Hosea speaks to God's people in the most beautiful context of a sort of a relationship, this beautiful covenantal relationship between a husband and his wife. And it's a beautiful context, but some edgy words in Hosea. And here's what God says to his people through Hosea. When I fed them, they were satisfied. Now the word there literally means filled to the brim, right? So they weren't just fed, they were stuffed. When I fed them, they were satisfied, and when they were satisfied, they became proud. And then it says this, and they forgot me. What? Really? Is that possible? Is it possible to forget the one who blessed us? Well, I think it is. I think God's people show it's possible. In my experience of 36 years in Christian ministry, I've seen it happen over and over again in the context of the world. in the context of our church and community that actually we can forget. So whether we're under pressure, being squeezed by circumstances, that can cause us, if we're not careful, to forget. But if you're having, like we sang about this morning, in the good times, the blessed times, your cup's overflowing, you're having the most amazing time, it is also possible to forget. It's really possible to forget God and His goodness in the moments of blessing. That's why we have to keep remembering, right? Because this is an important idea, that when we think about this sort of sense of remembering, we are being called to not forget the faithfulness of God and not forget the goodness of God. Whether we're in a good moment or a bad moment, we're being called by David, the psalmist, we're being called to not forget. Do not forget all His benefits. I don't know if that makes sense to you. And although pain, can I say this? Pain is a factor in forgetfulness. And I think if you're honest, you'll admit to that. I think prosperity can be a factor in forgetfulness. And some of us in the room, if we're super honest, will give a nod to that. But they're not the main reasons we forget. The main reasons we forget is that we don't remember. John, that sounds a bit Irish to me, and that doesn't really sound biblical to me. That sounds like more Irish logic, but it's true. Listen, if you don't remember, you'll forget. But even amazing moments in your life will be forgotten if you don't remember them. The reason I can remember what Dawn was wearing the day I met her is because I have rehearsed that story dozens of times. I've told it over and over again. When people say to me, where did you meet Dawn? I tell this story. And because it didn't just happen, I've rehearsed the story. It is a story that I remember. And so, because I remember it, I don't forget it. Are you with me? Come on. And if you don't want to forget something, you've got to remember it. And memory or remembering is an act of the will. It's an act of faith. It's something we choose to do because we know that whatever we're remembering is super, super important. I don't want to forget this. I don't want to forget this moment. I don't want to forget what Jesus has done. I don't want to forget. And God knows that humans are prone to forgetting. And if you read the Old Testament part of the Bible, that's why the Lord works really, really hard in helping His people to remember. Right? In fact, He institutes three big feasts that they're supposed to remember every year. And the way they remember it is that these are set in the calendar and they have to do them every year. Three massive feasts in the context of the journey of Israel. The Feast of Passover. Some of you may have heard that language before. This remembrance of what this deliverance moment that God did for them. And here's what Moses says in Deuteronomy. He says, observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover. Now the word observe there literally means guard, keep, watch over. Make it an indelible date in your calendar. So it's something they have got to do. God's done something for them. He's redeemed them. He's set them free. In fact, in my daily devotions, my normal Bible readings this week, I've been reading the Exodus story, and I've just got to the part where they're literally sacrificing the Passover lambs in order to deliver the people. And I'm in Exodus chapter 12 at the moment, reading it really slowly. Amazing. And I noticed something again this week as I was reading. It says this in Exodus 12, when they're thinking about the future celebration of the Passover, it says this, when you come to celebrate Passover and the children say, what does this mean? Then tell them. Now, someone asking the question, what does this mean, is a call to remember. That God did something for us, and we are remembering that today because the God who did it can still do it, right? The God who delivered us and set us free can still do something amazing for us today. So that first big feast, Passover, Moses says to them, when he speaks to them, observe it, mark it, keep it, watch over it. Don't let that calendar date slip out of your calendar. Make sure you've got that date. Don't be on holiday when we're celebrating Passover, all right? Be around to do that. The second big feast is what sometimes we as Christians call Pentecost. 50 days after Passover. The Jewish people would celebrate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai with them. Here's what Moses says about that feast. He says, remember, when he speaks of this second feast, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow these decrees carefully. Remember. So in the first feast, they're being called observe it, mark it, make sure it doesn't slip out of the calendar. In the second feast, they're being told, remember this feast. Don't let it slip away. Remember it. And then the third feast is what is sometimes called the Feast of Tabernacles or Tents or Booths. And in that feast, here's what the Lord says through Moses. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days. The word celebrate there is to celebrate with purpose. It's the idea that you're doing something, not just as a festival, but there's an important idea at the heart of this festival that you are being called to lean into and remember. So in the three big feasts that happen every single year, these three big feasts, what's the Lord saying to his people? He's saying, remember, watch over, and preserve. He's saying, guard and recall. And he's saying, celebrate with purpose. He's saying, I don't want you to forget. When you forget these things, you'll stray. When you forget these things, you'll forget me. When you forget these things, then actually something will enter into your thinking and your world, which will take you to a place I don't want you to be. And in order to stay on track, he says, you've got to remember. Don't forget. The Christian community, we don't have all these feasts. We've got one. One feast. We call it communion. Or Eucharist, or breaking of bread. I was raised in a Pentecostal setting where we called it breaking of bread, and we celebrated it every single week. I get to travel up and down this country. I can't remember the last time I broke bread in a church. I don't want to offend anybody, don't want to upset anybody. I certainly don't want to upset the leadership of the church that I'm a part of, but if we don't remember, we'll forget. Do you know why we're told to do communion? Do you know why we're told to break bread? Eat this in what? Come on. Eat this in remembrance of me. It's not a religious symbol. It's not an action that we slot into a liturgy. It's not a cool, like, Christian thing. It is, we eat that bread to remember him. Now, why are we told to do that? Because we forget him. Even Christians forget him. Come on, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the prosperity, in the midst of the up and down, Jesus just gets lost in the everyday of our lives. So when we do this feast, whether it's in our homes or whether it's here, as regularly as we can do it, every time we break that bread, here's what we're doing. We're remembering. We're remembering specifically him. Him. What he did. And when we take that cup, what are we remembering? His blood. And in fact, Paul adds a little commentary to it. Paul says that when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, what? Until he comes. Now listen, here's what Paul makes a connection between the past and the future. Paul says your memory is key to entering into your future. That actually we remember what he did, and what he did is a sign of what he's about to do. That the God who did something isn't just rooted in the past. We remember because he's a God of the past who works in the present and works in the future. We remember not because it's a fusty old, dusty old memory that we just, oh yeah, that happened back then and such a date. No. We remember because it's a living, dynamic idea that speaks to our present and speaks to our future. When I break that bread, when I take that cup, I'm proclaiming something from the past into the future. I'm saying I've got a hope that whatever happens in Ukraine, whatever happens with the markets, whatever happens with my government, whatever happens with my health, whatever happens with my job, whatever happens with the housing market, whatever happens, I have a God who did something in the past, and because he did that, I have a hope in the present, and I have a plan and a hope for the future. These are ideas that we're called to remember because they lift us out of the drudgery and challenge and ups and downs and ins and outs of everyday life, and they call us to something higher. Are you with me? Yes. That makes sense to you? That's why remembering is important. Memory is part of our faith. We have a historic faith. All the big things that are going to take you to heaven have already happened. Right? Come on. And we don't do that in some sort of dead history sense. We believe in a living history. A history that says, look what God has done, and because of what Jesus has done in us, we have a hope, we have a future. That actually, if I do go to heaven, then it's not because of anything I've really done, it's because of everything he has achieved for me through his death, resurrection, and ascension. And there's actually something dynamic and powerful about remembering that. That my life, my eternal destiny, doesn't actually hinge completely and totally on me, but it hinges on him. And it's important to remember that all the big ideas of your faith and my faith have already happened. And therefore, why is that important? Because we remember that so that we can draw those ideas into the present. And that those ideas help us walk forward in our faith. That actually whatever happens to me tomorrow, or whatever happens for me, or whatever Jesus gives me or doesn't give me tomorrow, what he has already done for me is everything I need. Right? It's everything I need. And that's what I've got to keep remembering. Not judge him through the lens of my experience, but see him through the lens of his truth. Amen? And that's why remembering is important. And God knows that we're prone to forget. And he says, don't forget. Remember. Remember. Consciously remember. And I hope that makes sense to you. So let's get back to our psalm. Well, John, you started with a psalm. Are you going to say anything about the psalm? I am. Just a couple of things. Two things that I think, if we remember, we won't forget. Yeah? And these things will travel with us wherever we go. And here they are, really, really simple. These are really simple ideas, but they're powerful ideas and ideas that continue to speak into my life and my experience. The first thing we need to remember is the God who was still is. Amen? Amen. The God who was still is. Look at the words of David, verse 8. Let me pick these out for you. He says this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Now, if me and you just dropped out of the sky and read Psalm 103 for the very first time, not knowing anything of the background of the story of Israel, we might just think that David had just rocked up with a magnificent piece of poetry. We might think, wow, what beautiful words. What amazing insight, revelation David has. David sees the Lord as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Absolutely beautiful words. And we might think David must have had a most amazing relationship with the Lord to have that revelation for himself and then to give that revelation to us. And actually, there would be a truth in that conclusion and that conversation, but it wouldn't be the whole truth, because what David is giving to us is not a new idea. What David is quoting in verse 8 is an old truth. David isn't bringing revelation. David is remembering. These words come from one of the most powerful statements that God makes about himself. And as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we need to lean into these words. These are powerful, life-changing words. When God reveals himself to Moses, and Moses cries out for God to show him his glory, we're not quite sure what all of that looks like and all of that means, but one of the revelations of God's glory is the revelation of his nature and character. He says something to Moses about himself. And here's what he says to Moses about himself in Exodus chapter 34. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Those words that God speaks about himself in Exodus 13 are so important in what we call the Old Testament that those words are repeated in one form or another 27 times. Why are they repeated so often? So we don't forget. David is not coming up with a cool new idea. David is remembering an old idea. Come on, people. Come on. I meet a lot of beautiful Christians, and they're always looking for something new and edgy and sexy and amazing and some new revelation. Listen, if we spend half our time getting into old revelation as we spend chasing stuff, our lives would be transformed. Listen, if another preacher never spoke into your life ever again, if you never went on YouTube, if you never went on your favorite website to watch your favorite preacher, if you never did that again and you just dived into this book, there is enough in this book about him that can revolutionize our lives. Because the truth that you're going to hear from me, from Mark, from Pastor Russ, from Dina, from whoever speaks in this place or speaks to you out there is not going to be some amazing new revelation. It's going to be memory of an old revelation. It's going to be stuff that's already there. Oh God, show me yourself. Absolutely, that's a prayer we should all pray. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Yes, Lord. But actually, there's so much that he's already given us and he's shown us. And David, in a moment of his journey, grabs a memory from the past and says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in chesed, abounding in loving kindness. Wow. Wow. And that's what we've got to learn to do. Reach back into the book, yes. Reach back into even our own experience. The experience where you have had encounter with God, where you have a revelation of who this wonderful Lord and Savior that we serve is, and hold on to that. And in the days when it's dark, remember. And in the days when you're flushed and blessed and your cup's overflowing, remember. Remember the Lord. Remember he's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Remember, that's not going to change from one day to the next. When I'm healthy, he's gracious and compassionate. If I'm sick, he's still gracious and compassionate. When my bank balance is overflowing, he's compassionate and gracious. And when I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen at the end of the month? He's still compassionate and gracious. And what makes that a constant reality is memory. We remember who he is. And we refuse to forget it. I will not forget that the Lord is compassionate. Come on. I will not forget his benefits. I will not forget the good things he has done for me, both historically in terms of the big redemptive stuff of Jesus, but also even things in my own specific journey as a human, things he has done for me. Those two ideas I'm remembering. I will not forget them. I will not. On the good days, I'm going to remember them. On the bad days, I'm going to remember them. And on the ugly days, I'm going to remember them. Because he's still compassionate. He's still gracious. He's still slow to anger. He's still abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Come on, do you believe that? That's why memory is important. The Lord is today because he was. Absolutely. He's suddenly not someone different today than he was yesterday. He's the same. He's constant. He's, in the best sense of the idea, unchanging. Come on. And that's why whatever moment you're in, we can remember who he is. Does that make sense? So we're encouraged not to forget. And in not forgetting, we remember that who God was, he still is. Here's the second thing, and then I'm bringing this to a close. You'll be pleased to hear. The God who did things in the past still does. The God who did still does. That's why we have to remember. Because there'll be moments today when it looks like God's forgotten, let alone you've forgotten. Come on, there'll be moments in your everyday life thinking, Lord, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's going on? And actually, as you're going through the moments you're in, and they don't seem to make sense, or it's not connecting the way you hoped it would, that's when we remember the God who did still does. Look at what David says. He describes it in this way. He says, he forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, works righteousness and justice, and made known his ways to Moses. Seven dynamic acts of God's gracious, dynamic goodness. Seven actions of God. Look at them again. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, crowning, satisfying, working, and making known. Seven things that God has done. And yet David speaks of those things also in the sense that God is still doing those things. He's still at work in my life. He's still the God who did. And because he's the God who did, I believe he's the God who can still do. Amen? He's the God who can still do. So in the 21st century world, with all its amazing wonderfulness and weirdness that we are contending with at the moment, he's the God who worked in the first century. He's still the God who can work in the 21st century. He's the God who helped the children of Israel in what we call the Old Testament. He's the God who is super modern and up to date. Why? Because we remember that he's a God who did, and therefore we celebrate and hold on by faith to the fact that he's the God who does. Amen? Don and I are just processing an interesting little moment in our lives on a particular issue. And we just came back from the Isle of Wight. And both of us were quite tired yesterday. And we went to bed and sleeping soundly. And something sort of woke me in the night. When I woke at about 1:30 in the morning, I started thinking about this thing we're processing, right? And it just got on me. And it got on me to the extent my heart rate went up, you know. I'm sort of thinking about it. I can't settle. I can't get back to sleep. And it's sort of moved from, I'm just thinking about it now, do I need to do something? So 1:30 in the morning last night, I got up, went downstairs. Didn't want to disturb Dawn. It looked like she was fast asleep. So I went downstairs to my little study. I thought, Lord, I just need to sit in your presence for a bit. And I turned on the light. And I felt the Holy Spirit just say Psalm 65. You know those wee moments where you go, like a random thought comes into your head? You think, well, that could be nothing. It could be me. Could have been the pizza I had yesterday. Or it could be the Holy Spirit actually speaking to me. And this random thought of Psalm 65 came into my head. And as I'm reading Psalm 65, in the margin of my Bible, not this Bible, my study Bible, my devotional Bible, in the margin of my Bible, I had a date and a promise. And I looked at that date and promise, verse 11 of Psalm 65. Someone had spoken a word over us in 2017. In fact, on the 18th of March, 2017, it's marked. It's dated. And it's an amazing word. And it says this: you crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. And that word in 2017 literally came to pass. Literally. And it would take too long to explain the context of that promise. But here's the thing I want you to see. We're processing now something in 2023. I open up my Bible and a memory of something the Lord did in 2017 becomes the fuel of my faith at 1:30 in the morning. And it turns my anxiety to worship. Come on. It turns my sleeplessness to going back to bed. And in fact, I slept so soundly that my alarm went off and it woke me up. And Don will tell you, I normally wake before my alarm, right? I'm that sort of weird person. But my alarm, because I had slept so soundly going back to bed, what made the difference was a memory moment. Had I just looked at the circumstance I'm in right now, the danger is that overwhelms me. But what I'm doing is I went back to a memory moment. I said, you're the God who was. See, you still are. Come on. You're the God who did. You can still do. All right? And I had this sermon prepped to share with you. And there I am, sort of my own sermon illustration last night. Literally seeing the power of remembering. Because here's what happened. I'd forgotten that. But I'm so glad that in 2017 I wrote it down. Because in writing it down, it helped me to remember. How do we remember? Number one, record. If the Lord has spoken to you personally and individually, write down what he said. For some of you, you've got words in your memory, words of God in your life, and you've sort of forgotten them, but you've written them somewhere. So here's the challenge for you today. Dig them out. Blow the dust off them. If God spoke, that word's still alive. That word's still at work. God is doing things in your life that you may or may not see right now, but some of the things he's already done for you in the past and said to you in the past and given you in the past, he's calling you back to remember. 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 Do not forget who I was, because I'm still that God. Do not forget what I did, because I can still do that stuff. And for some of you, it won't be relevant for everybody, but for some of you in the room, there are words that need to be dusted off. You've become a bit cynical with it all and a bit blasé with it all. And the Holy Spirit wants to call you back to remember that the God who did it can do it. Come on. Come on, are you with me? The second thing it helps me to remember is rehearse. Tell your stories. Tell your stories. Tell stories of what God has done for you. Tell stories of what the Lord has achieved in your life. Tell the stories of his faithfulness. Tell the stories of his goodness. Learn to tell those stories in the darkness. Learn to tell those stories in the pain. Today, maybe as a family, maybe as a couple, maybe if you're with your friends, if you're single in the context of this community, get round a dinner table or get round with a cup of coffee and rehearse stories. Tell stories of his goodness. Because sometimes rehearsing the story of the past can help create faith in the present. You with me? And lastly, and this is why our worship's important, rejoice. Make your memory part of your confession, worship, and praise. If you're standing in the house of God and you don't really know what to say, then just say what you know. Say what you know about him. Doesn't matter what the person beside you is saying, say what you know. If you're struggling to what to say, remember what he's done. Remember how he stepped into your world and transformed you and changed you. Allow yourself to use the memory of who he is and what he's done to become the platform of praise and worship in the context of your journey. It's easy to forget. But you won't forget if you remember. And memory needs to be worked out. We need to be intentional about our memory. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've nothing to remember for your own life in terms of specific stories, you have one memory, if you're in Jesus, that you can remember, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave himself for you, sacrificed himself for you and transformed your life through his loving kindness and faithfulness on the cross by giving himself completely for you. If there's no other memory, that's the memory. That's the memory. But I would suspect if you've been walking with Jesus for a little while, there will be other memories that we can recall, that we can record, that we can rehearse, and that we can use for rejoicing. Amen? Does that make sense to you? And so don't forget. Remember. Remember. So that in remembering, we can go forward in his grace. Amen? Let me pray for you. Now I'm going to hand back to Pastor Mark in just a moment. Memory is an act of faith. challenging yourself to remember the faithfulness of God. Especially in the moments where you are in pain, it can be easy to forget the faithfulness of God. But we remember. The God who was, still is. Someone needs to hear that this morning. The God who was, still is. Memory is an act of faith. In the midst of the good days, the bad days, the ugly days, the days even when our cup overflows, we are called to remember the goodness of the Lord. He is good, and His love endures forever. He is compassionate, and He is gracious. He is slow to anger, and He is abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. And sometimes when we have nothing else left in a moment, what we've got is the ability to remember. And memory is an act of faith. It's an act of defiance. It's an act of courage. It's an act that says, no matter what's going on in my world, I will remember. And that act of remembering can transform the moment we are in for His glory. For those of you that need to go home today and dust down the word of the Lord, do it. Some of us need to rehearse the story over dinner. Let's do it. Some of us need to have the courage to change the narrative of what is going on in our world. Is the only thing that consumes our conversation to what the Lord has done in our world. And if we have the courage to remember, then we will never forget. Lord, I want to thank You that You never forget. You remember the works of Your hands. You remember Your people. You remember Your promises. You remember, Lord God, the things that You have purposed to do in us and for us and through us. That You are a God who remembers. And Lord, as You look over this congregation today of men and women, boys and girls that You love, Lord, I pray that our faith will be in a God who remembers, but also that, Lord, our own memory of faith will arise. And that, Lord, in the midst of our journey, we will not forget, but we will remember the faithfulness of God, the God who was, still is. We will remember the goodness of God, the God who did, still does. May that be our confession. May that be our testimony. And may that be our experience in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.